Well, the implosion of the latest Senate healthcare bill is blotting out another banner week at the White House. Infrastructure Week came and went, so did Energy Week, both largely occluded by scandal and investigations. Well, now it's Made in America Week. Here's the president.
We want to build, create, and grow more products in our country using American labor, American goods, and American grit. When we purchase products made in the USA, the profits stay here, the revenue stays here, and the jobs, maybe most importantly of all, they stay right here in the USA.
So the president on the White House lawn yesterday, he showcased Wisconsin-made fire trucks from Pierce Manufacturing. There was farm equipment from Caterpillar, and even the president from Queens, New York, trying on a Stetson cowboy hat from Texas. But slogans aside, can the president's vision of a return of American production ever be a reality? David Autor is Ford professor and associate head of the MIT Department of Economics. Professor, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Well, let's start with President Trump as an example, because he's an American businessman and his family's in American business. He likes to promote American manufacturing. Of course, a lot gets made of the fact that his daughter Ivanka's apparel line gets made in China. If you go to Trump hotels, you'll find shower caps and toiletries made overseas. These are just two small examples, but knowing what you know about the state of American manufacturing, does any of that surprise you?
The state of American manufacturing is somewhat precarious, and it is still the case that the U.S. is the world's second largest manufacturing economy in terms of value added. But manufacturing employment has fallen by more than a third since the year 2000. So it is not a, we would not say it is a thriving time for U.S. manufacturing. I think it's also worth pointing out, by the way, that one of the claims that the president made in the remarks you played is incorrect. If you buy in America for products made in America, that doesn't necessarily mean the profits reside in America. There's a lot of foreign-owned manufacturing in the United States, most prominently in motor vehicles.
Toyota plants in Tennessee and throughout the South, for example.
Of course. Yeah, Toyota, BMW, Volkswagen. And that's a good thing. But I'm just making the point that the fact that something is made here doesn't mean that the profits end up here, because there's a lot of foreign direct investment in the United States. Again, something we should welcome. We just shouldn't oversimplify.
So I made an example of President Trump, the businessman, and Ivanka Trump, not to single them out specifically, but as two big-time American business people who would like to promote American manufacturing, but still find themselves purchasing products overseas. There's a dilemma there.
Of course, we're going to be purchasing products overseas, and it's silly to think otherwise. The question is whether the American manufacturing infrastructure can remain vital, innovative, profitable, and produce leading products. We do not want to return to a time when, you know, most of our shoes are made in America, and our clothing and our toys and assembling, those are labor intensive goods. They have low value added. It would be expensive and inefficient to make them here. We are in general wealthier for having other people make them, and we exchange that for other goods that we make. What is very important is that the U.S. maintain innovative leadership in high technology products, things, you know, steel and automotive and electronics and machine parts, aircraft. That's where, as a highly educated, a highly skilled and technologically advanced country, we should have comparative advantage. And we should be concerned about losing our lead there. And I think that's very much at risk. But being concerned about that is not the same as being concerned about the fact that implements at Trump hotels are made in China. That's kind of irrelevant.
And irrelevant primarily because you say we shouldn't be concerned about these low-end products. We don't want to be manufacturing them here.
Of course not. No, that's not. You know, there's a reason that most of the clothing that you are wearing was, you know, made either in India or Bangladesh or Cambodia. Those are countries that are labor abundant and the cost of labor are low. Those goods require a lot of time and care to produce. And if they were made in this country, they would be a great deal more expensive, and we would all be somewhat poorer for that. And those poor countries would also be poorer because they would lose a vital source of employment and foreign investment. Trade in general makes the world wealthier. We don't want to be, if we were a closed economy and everything we made were things that we produced here, we would be significantly poorer.
Well, Professor, we're going to talk about steel in just a minute, and I wanted to ask you about it. Is there anything the president really can do from his office to bring back U.S. steel?
Well, you can certainly impose tariffs on foreign steel producers, as the U.S. has done on many occasions. There are a couple of risks to doing that. One is, of course, it invites retaliation. The other is, you know, the U.S. is a relatively small steel producer and a big steel importer. And so there are many, many other industries that use that imported steel. And if you impose tariffs, you will be raising prices on those industries. So the automotive industry, the, you know, construction industry. So you could help the steel industry directly by reducing import competition through tariffs, but you wouldn't be helping the U.S. economy in aggregate. So there's no simple way to do this. But on the other hand, I do agree that there is such thing as unfair dumping, where a country subsidizes its producers until all the foreign competition goes out of business. But there's no simple lever you can flip that makes everybody better off than the United States.
David Otter, Ford professor and associate head of the MIT Department of Economics. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
So you heard David Otter talking about steel there. In April, the president asked Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross to review the steel industry and consider new tariffs on imported steel. Ross's findings are expected to be released soon, but even the idea of tariffs has a lot of Republicans cringing. There are about 150,000 steel workers in America now, according to the Commerce Department, but industries that use steel employ many, many times more. So if the Trump administration does go for tariffs, they won't just impact U.S. steel industry, they'll also affect U.S. manufacturers that rely on that cheaper imported steel. And the real question is, would it help bring back jobs to the U.S.?
We make things like storage cabinets and bookcases, shelving, lockers, all sorts of different types of racking and light-duty rack. Different types of filing cabinets, open-shelf filing. It could be card files. It could be literature sorters. Full gamut.
That's Stuart Spire, the president of Tensco Corporation, a manufacturing company in Tennessee. And I spoke with him earlier about why buying American is such a challenge.
Well, we compete in a global marketplace, and so we have to have competitively priced steel to compete. And unfortunately, U.S. steel is higher priced than most anywhere else in the world, and that does present real challenges.
So what does that mean for you? I mean, I know you're a patriot. You know, you'd love to buy U.S. steel all the time. How do you calculate what to use?
Well, some products where 50% or more of our cost is just the raw steel. So if we're paying a lot more for steel, it certainly hurts us. We compete against, for example, Chinese manufacturers of lockers and cabinets and bookcases and workbenches. And we're paying 60 to 80% more for our raw steel than those same Chinese competitors. And that presents a real challenge.
I mean, that's the challenge, isn't it, in a global marketplace?
Exactly. I mean, there are other factors. I mean, certainly in the U.S., our wages are higher. Our benefit costs like health insurance are higher. But the biggest thing right now for us is the price of steel.
So, Stuart Spire, if the Trump administration went for tariffs on Chinese steel to discourage it in the U.S. market, what impact would that have on you and your business? Do you think it's a good idea?
Well, obviously, I don't think it's a good idea because we already pay more for steel. And the obvious goal of the tariffs would be to increase the price of steel to help support domestic steel producers. But that just puts us behind the eight ball. There's lots of protection for steel already in place, but there's nothing really preventing finished goods from coming into the United States. And as a result, instead of them shipping coils of steel from China or Japan or wherever, you're seeing finished products. And that's the challenge.
So there are proposals out there to tax those finished products at the same rate that they tax your products. It sounds like that's something you would like to see, a value-added tax.
Well, that would be certainly help us a lot. If you're going to tax the steel, you've got to think about the downstream consumers of steel like us. But I mean, we're just one example. There's tens of thousands of other metal benders out there who are consuming steel. And if you don't think of them, ultimately, who are your customers going to be if they're losing their business and going out of business?
Right. So, Stuart Spire, you've got one of these downstream companies. And if America went to war with Chinese steel, let's not beat around the bush. What would it do to jobs at your plant?
Well, obviously, as we're losing business, and we are losing business now, we will have to adapt, which means probably laying off people and trying to react in whatever way we can.
So as you watch these debates that are going on, Stuart Spire, you're a business owner. You use lots of steel downstream. Made in America and U.S. Steel isn't an academic argument to you. What should happen?
Well, I'm hoping, and there's some very smart people out there looking at this problem, particularly at the Commerce Department, that they look at the broader picture. On face value, it seems, this is simple. The steel industry is hurting. They're facing tough foreign competition. So let's just limit that competition and help out the steel industry. But you've got to think of the consequences of that. There is many times the Wall Street Journal estimated 60 jobs downstream for every job in the steel industry. So you may temporarily solve an issue for the steel industry, but at the cost of losing a whole lot more jobs, manufacturers like us and any industry that uses steel is going to be hurt by this.
Stuart Spire, president of Tensco in Tennessee, thank you so much for being with us.
I appreciate you having me.
And we're asking you at 8778MYTAKE, is it important to you to buy American? Do you find it hard to buy products made in the United States?
My name is Stephanie Hansford, and I'm calling from Titusville, Florida. Buying American, quote unquote, isn't my priority. Trying to buy quality at a fair price takes precedence. If that quality is American-made, as it should be, I'll buy it. If it's German, Italian, Korean, or Chinese, that it's well-made and it does what I need it to do, I'll buy it. Being American doesn't stop us from making shoddy merchandise.
This is George calling from Salem, Massachusetts. I prefer to pay a little more for better quality. Many higher quality products are made in the USA, so it feels good to buy local.
Buying American in the USA. More coming up here on The Takeaway.